given a certain title this morning, love takes risk. Now, as I was preparing for the day and preparing my sermon, I went through about 30 or 40 iterations of a title. I can't write the sermon until I have the title. And it was everything from risky business, love takes risk, risky love, love, risky, risk, risk, love, love. There were about 40 different iterations of this sermon title. And finally, I settled on love takes risk. Because when I saw this scripture listed as an alternate Old Testament reading in the lectionary for the week, I knew I had to jump on it. The Song of Solomon is one of my favorite books of the Bible, and it only appears in the lectionary once every 3 years. So when I saw it for my first Sunday, I said, oh, this is divine. This comes directly from the Lord, that it would be on my first Sunday, that the only time this, my favorite book would come up would be my first Sunday. So praise the Lord that on this day we hear the beautiful love song of Solomon. We don't get to hear this a lot because I think Song of Solomon has gotten a bad rap. We don't like to deal with this book of erotic poetry because many of us are uncomfortable with the graphic, sexual, and sensual content within the song of love. And it's pretty ironic that we don't listen to it and we don't read it considering how graphic our music is on the radio. Have you heard a love song lately? Nothing is left to the imagination. And we can listen to that all day, but when it comes to the Bible, we are not supposed to talk about love and the physicality that comes along with it. I get it. We have a difficult time dealing with the words, the images, and even the emotions that the song evokes. But the author of this masterpiece has declared in the title that what is to follow is not only good and needful, but it is the most important, it is the best, it is the highest of all songs written in the Bible. The title in Hebrew is Shir HaShirim, which means something like songs, or song of songs. It's song and then song plural, which in Hebrew, they don't have a word for like very or the highest or anything like that. So they don't say a word twice. So when you see songs, he's saying that this is the best song of all. This is the song of all songs. It is the greatest song that we can hear. Now, how in the world can this writer proclaim that out of all of the songs written in the Bible, that this would be the best song? I mean, how can it be the best song when you look into the Bible and you look at songs and most of the songs are laments? Most of the songs that David wrote are songs to God in his time of distress, saying, God, why are you doing this to me? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? Would not one of the great hymns of praise be a better choice for the title of best song in the Bible? Think about it. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Surely that would be the best song of songs that could be written about God and about God's people. Or how about one of the great songs of comfort in the times of distress? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's pretty stiff competition. How then can the psalmist claim that the Song of Songs is in fact the best of the very best when it comes to songs? God isn't even mentioned once in the entire 8 chapters. God is not referred to. And yet, the psalmist has the audacity to say, but this one is the best. I believe that it has been designated the Song of Songs, or the best song, because of its didactic nature. The Song of Songs teaches us that we must take risks for love, and that within all loving relationships, there is both promise and peril. The Song of Songs reminds us that God is calling us all to take the huge risk of loving one another deeply, extravagantly, and single-mindedly with our soul focused on the other, despite the risk that we may be hurt. When we meet our young lovebirds in our text this morning, their mutual love has been established. They've declared their love to each other and to the world. They have complimented each other profusely. How beautiful are your lips? How wonderful are your cheeks? Your neck is like a strong palm. Your chest is broad. I mean, they went on and on about how much and how beautiful they were to each other. And now it is time for them to take that love to the next level. They must meet. They must decide if they will leave their love in its infancy, held together only by beautiful words and hopeful thoughts, or tested in the fire of relationship. The young woman is anxiously awaiting her beloved, and he is as anxious to get to her as she is for him to get there. She tells us to listen. She hears his voice from far away. She commands us to look. She sees him coming, leaping across mountains and bounding over the hills. Now that's some kind of love. When was the last time you leapt over a hill and ran across a mountain to get to your beloved? He is running towards her, getting to her at all costs. And the moment that she has been waiting, he is there, standing behind the wall, gazing through the lattice windows. His eyes are on her, and her eyes are on him. And finally he speaks. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me. Now on the surface, this may seem like a simple request. Come with me, he says. Charm my ears, this doesn't necessarily seem like such a big deal. They're going on a date. No big deal. But he is asking more of her than dinner and a movie. He is asking her to take a step out of the safety of her family and home and go away with him to who knows where. He is asking her to defy conventions and societal norms on the chance that love might be found. We have to keep in mind that we are not talking about the dating rituals of today, but of the ancient Near East, where young women did not choose their mates, but had them chosen for them. They often didn't have contact with their betrothed until just before the wedding, or in some cases, on the wedding day. So for this randy young man to come leaping over mountains and bounding across hills to ask her to come away with him was way out of order. He may as well have been saying, forget your family. Don't worry about getting permission or a blessing. Turn your back on everything that you know and all of the customs that you have been raised to follow and come away with me. Risk all of the safety that you enjoy behind these walls to be closer to me, and I promise that I will make it worth the wait. This request is filled with both promise and peril. See, there are two sides to love, as we learned today from our youngest disciples. There is that love where we treat each other well, and then there is the shadow, where we sometimes fight. There is the joy of hello, and sometimes the pain of goodbye. In love, we sometimes experience the soaring heights, but we also must meet the depths of despair. Love at its best is encouraging and always says beautiful, flowery things to you. But at its worst, it shuts the door and discourages you from everything and everything. that has the power to heal and the strength to break. Love may not always seem like a good risk to take, because the very ones whom we love the most and who bring us the greatest joy also meet out the most excruciating pain. You don't know pain until you felt it from the one you love the most. But love we must. We were created by and for love. Love has been woven into our DNA, much like the color of our eyes and the textures of our skin, and our preference for chocolate or vanilla, our preference for pizza or filet mignon. It's on you. We must love. What the Beloved is asking of the young Shulamite woman is the same request that God has made in the past and is making of us today. Arise, my daughter, my beloved one. Come. God made the request of Abram in Genesis 12. Go from your country, your people, and your father's house to the land I will show you. Sometimes, love demands that we leave everything behind in search of what we do not know. God sometimes asks us to leave behind all of our preconceived notions, our prejudices, all of our former customs and ways of doing things, and finally even the very places and people we love the most to go away with Him. The beauty of this seemingly unreasonable request is that it is not only a request that God makes of us, but one that God has entered into willingly with us. The entire Bible is the chronicle of both the light and shadow of the love story between God and man. It is filled with mutual love and rejection, reconciliation and more rejection, forgiveness and even more rejection, healing and yet more rejection. And in the midst of it all, the joy and the pain, we find a God who continues to leap across mountains and bound over hills just to get to us. A God who continues to pursue us with the ardor of first love. Do you remember your first love and how much you burned for that person? How much you wanted to see them every day, talk to them every hour, gaze into their beautiful eyes, and just hear their voice flow into your ear? God is doing it every day, all day, coming to us, running, jumping. He's beckoning us across the breach of pain, obstinance, and even sometimes rejection, calling out to us, arise, my darlings, my beautiful ones, come away. God is telling us to set aside the pains of the past, ignore the conventions of the day that create barriers to full loving relationships with each other and with our God, and to run headlong into love. Dive into it as though you have never been hurt before. Risk everything that you have for love, because love, real love, requires everything. God is telling us through this best of songs that love requires mutuality. Both parties must be engaged. Love requires our complete focus, and it must be filled with excitement and determination, but above all, love takes risk. You will never, ever, ever find love unless you're willing to throw your hat into the game. As they say with the Bible, you have to begin to win. You've got to put it all on the line. Love demands that we take a chance on each other, knowing that there will be rough times. There will even be fights. There will also be unspeakable joy. If we trust that there is nothing greater than love, there will be healing, there will be days that we wish would never end, and nights that shine as light as the day. Listen, the voice of our beloved. Look, here he comes, leaping upon the mountains and bounding over the hills. There she stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the stained glass. Our beloved speaks to us and says, "Arise, my house, my beloved, and come with me."